Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we want you to be a part of it. What's on your mind today? Let's talk about it right now at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Richard Pfeiffer.
Thanks, Bob. The beginning of the year, we've been talking about how to study the Bible, what's so important about that. And we've come up with three key aspects to follow in order to understand the Bible. The first is that the Bible is the story of Jesus. Second, everything must be seen through the lens of the new covenant. And third, if you're not asking the Holy Spirit to guide you and reveal the meaning of the Bible to you, you're just beating your head against a wall.
Yes.
So those are the three overriding principles. But today what I wanted to look at were some just hard-nosed practical suggestions for how you might want to approach Bible study. And a lot of this I've learned myself, you know, the things that I do when I study things. I've heard some of this from other people who have had good ideas. And this is just rubber meets the road stuff. You know, when I sit down and I open a Bible, whether it's electronic or a book, and I say, okay, it's about Jesus, and I need the Holy Spirit, and it's in the context of the new covenant, now what? So here's the now what. First of all, pick a version of the Bible that you find readable. Some of them, there are many, many good versions of the Bible out there, and some of them are harder to read than others, depending on your background, part of the world you live in, etc. Okay, so find a version that makes sense to you, and again, ask the Holy Spirit to help you do that. Every version has got translation errors in it, so don't look for perfection. All right, what you're looking for is readability and understandability, because again, in spite of whatever minor translation issue there might be, the Holy Spirit's going to say, this one you pay attention to, that one ignore. I mean, it's just the way it works. If you can afford it, purchase a concordance that goes along with your version of the Bible. That way you can look up words. And you can find those words and how they're used throughout your version of the Bible. Now, some of you are probably groaning at this point. Can I imagine anything more boring than looking up an individual word in this book and then flipping through the Bible? There's good news.
You might get some surprises, really.
There's good news. There are some really, really good online tools and cell phone applications that do this. Maybe the most famous one used by millions and millions of people is YouVersion. I use YouVersion on my iPad here during radio. And it has a really good search function in it, and you can look in various parts of the Bible. You can read the verse, and if you want to see more about the verse, you can. It'll take you to the whole chapter, for example. And so these things are available online, and they're free. It's a wonderful, wonderful program. Next, check your assumptions at the door. We're here to find out what the Bible is going to teach us, not what we're going to teach the Bible.
And good point.
That one was hard learned on my part, because I had all the answers. I was certain, absolutely certain, that I was right about everything.
And we're going to get to that in a phone call here in just shortly.
And when I discovered that the Spirit had a whole bunch of things to teach me, and I stopped forcing my presumptions into the Word of God, oh, my goodness, what a change. And the Word of God just exploded for me. Here's one I got from a friend of mine. Keep a journal. It's a great place to write questions as you go along, organize your thoughts, be able to go back and forth between, you know, well, this chapter said this over here, but over here it sounds a little different. How do I do that? And then you can use that journal to talk with a friend who's also studying. And you can, you know, iron sharpens iron kind of thing. We've talked about this many times in the past. Context, context, context.
Just like real estate.
Just like real
estate. Location, location, location.
So the overriding context, as we've talked about, is that this is all for us today done from the point of view of the new covenant.
Mm-hmm.
But within that, here are some suggestions. Never base your belief system on one verse.
Right.
Okay? You can find some really awful things in the Bible, and they're based on just one verse.
Yes.
But if you look at the Bible as a whole, you'll be much safer. Secondly, avoid skipping from one verse to another to another. Another word for this is proof texting. There are some very famous books that have been written, and I won't name them, that say that, you know, because I've got 7,000 verses that I can back this up with, that it must be true. Mm. Sorry, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
Okay? The Bible is intended to be a holistic book, looked at in the wider context. Okay? Believe it or not, ignore the chapter breaks.
Yes.
They're really good for finding a place, you know, when you're looking something up, but after that they become marginal at best. Because sometimes the story breaks over into another chapter, or a question is asked and it's just left there on the table, and if you don't read the next verse in the next chapter, you're left hanging.
Sure.
So use the things like verses and chapters to help you find your way around.
Markers.
Yeah, they're nice markers. Mm-hmm. But look at the whole story. And it may take you a couple of chapters. Here's a very famous example of that. If you look in Romans 2, you will see a phrase, I'm paraphrasing, about, you know, you become a law unto yourself. And if you keep the law, then you know, you're holy.
Mm.
And I've heard that verse used to demonstrate that we're supposed to keep the law.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at the overall context of chapters 1, 2, and 3, you discover that it is a single argument. All three of those chapters. And that argument is no one keeps the law. In fact, no one can keep the law. And the conclusion is that there is a righteousness apart from law. Okay? So if you just grab a verse or a couple of verses out of a chapter and don't look at the whole thing, you miss the point.
Yeah.
And you can become very confused. Pay attention to who is talking and to whom they're talking.
Mm-hmm.
Had an interesting conversation just yesterday with a friend of mine. He was reading through something, and the way his Bible was organized, it was kind of difficult to tell who was talking to whom. Mm-hmm. And we worked through that and discovered who it was, and you go, oh, that was easy.
Yeah.
You know? Otherwise, again, it gets confusing.
Sure.
This is... You know, knowing who is talking and to whom they are talking very often gives you the primary purpose of a passage.
Mm-hmm.
Is this encouragement? Is it warning? Is it judgment? Is it the grace of God reaching out to me to woo me to closer to him? You know, all those kinds of things quite often are understood when the Spirit says, well, you know, here Jesus is talking to John, or Jesus is talking to Peter, and it's don't get confused on who's who,
right? Yeah.
If you like to go a little bit deeper, then pay attention to the stated historical, political, and religious background as it's given. There is some fascinating stuff in the Bible regarding history. It's not primarily a historical book. But because of all the historical references, that's one of the ways we know that the Bible is trustworthy.
Sure.
And so you can just read them and accept them, or you can dig a little deeper. And I talked about that earlier this week. That's the stuff that gets my juices flowing when somebody wants to know who was Sennacherib, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and it may not mean your salvation, but it's worthwhile to be able to look in your Bible. To look online, I mean, you can Google Sennacherib.
Certainly.
If you can figure out how to spell his name,
yeah.
You can Google this guy. And it just adds so much flavor to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you know who was Caesar at a various point in time, like toward the end of Acts, when Paul appeals to Caesar, he's going to be sent to Rome to meet whom? Nero.
Right.
Now, who in their right mind would appeal to Nero? Nobody would. But what was going on is that because Paul was a Roman citizen, under Roman law, he could appeal to the highest authority.
Sure.
And that's what he was doing. He wasn't saying, oh, I want to go talk to Nero. I've heard he's a nice guy. But see, it's that kind of yeah. stuff that just adds flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line, have fun.
Yes.
You know, don't go into the Bible and you know, you're almost to lose your job or lose your home because you haven't been paying your bills or, you know, don't go in there and say, oh, Lord, how am I going to pay my bills?
Mm-hmm.
Go into the Bible, find Jesus, because he's all over it, and say, Jesus, I need your peace, I need your wisdom, and I need your joy.
Mm-hmm.
Not happiness.
Right.
Joy. And you can have fun while studying the Bible, and let the Spirit renew your mind. Sanctify your choices, how you choose to do things, and then just enjoy it.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of stuff here, and there's a lot more we could talk about,
mm-hmm.
but Bible study should be fun and rewarding, and it is, because God made it that way.
Absolutely. Well, Richard, thank you for those thoughts. And friends, if you have questions about this or some other topic, and if it's the first half of the 3 p.m. Central Time hour, you're hearing the live broadcast, and you can talk with us right now and pose your question directly to Richard on these things that he's been talking about or some other topic, as I said. That number, 844-322-2742. In fact, that's available 24 hours a day. If you don't hear the live broadcast, you can leave your question by voicemail at that number, 844-322-2742. Friends, you know, the story of the cross, the resurrection, and the life of Jesus Christ is the incomparable story of hope, truth, and lasting change for everyone who comes to him by faith. Now, this story is told in scriptural authority by Bob Christopher and Richard Piper in a 14-CD series called It's All Yours, and we want you to have it. Request your copy as you make your January donation to support this Basic Gospel message. To support the message, click Donate at BasicGospel.net. In Canada, of course, donate at BasicGospel.net/Canada. And you can also donate through the Basic Gospel app and PayPal. We're grateful to everyone who does, and we'd love for you, too, to partner with us in this message of grace, love, and life in the Lord Jesus. It's all yours, and we want you to have it. Well, again, 844-322-2742. Let's go to the phones right now.
Hey, guys, I was just going to ask if y'all would explain Proverbs 2:19 a little bit. It seems to be a pretty tough one. Thank you.
Proverbs 2:19.
Okay, I'm getting there right now. I'll read the specific verse, and then I'll do some other things. Here's the verse, Proverbs 2:19. None who go to here come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. Oh, that sounds pretty serious. You know, wow. What Solomon is talking about here is the man whose ways are crooked and devious. And he is also the man who seeks pleasure in the arms of other women.
Yeah.
It's the adulterer, the warmonger,
mm-hmm.
okay? Starting in verse 16, it says, so you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life.
Mm.
Okay? Okay, let's talk about this in the context of Bible instruction. Is this a new covenant passage or an old covenant passage?
Old, of
course. It's an old covenant mm-hmm. passage. What does this say about Jesus? Well, nothing directly, so let's hold off on that. But we'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What would the Holy Spirit say to us about this under the new covenant? The Holy Spirit would say, well, of course it's a terrible thing to go chasing after other women. Only pain can result from that for you, for your wife, for your family, for her family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a story right now running around on the news about Jeff Bezos. I mean, think about the pain and agony that's going on in those families, because there's at least two of them involved.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got all the stockholders of one of the largest, richest companies in the world, and everybody's nervous.
Yeah.
All because it looks like Can't judge yet. It looks like he decided to run around.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing good that can come of that. However, here's where it applies to Jesus. What did Jesus do? Did he die for that sin? Absolutely, he died for that sin. When did he die for that sin? Before it was ever committed. Okay? Every sin you and I have ever committed or will ever commit happened after Jesus died for them. That's good news, folks. All right? So we don't have to be afraid of this passage. We need to take it to heart in context.
Mm-hmm.
Under the old covenant law, if you were out chasing around, you literally could be stoned to death. This was the point of the woman brought to Jesus who was caught in adultery. Well, what they didn't do was bring the man who was caught in adultery with her.
Right.
So
yeah.
Jesus is completely aware of what's going on, writes in the sand whatever he wrote, and everybody starts leaving from the oldest to the youngest. And then he turns around and says, well, who is there to condemn you?
Mm-hmm.
And notice how he said it. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. So the sin is still the sin. But because of who Jesus is, what he has done, his death, burial, and resurrection, then ascending back to the Father, and we receive the Holy Spirit as a result of our own personal Pentecost,
mm-hmm.
we are never condemned.
Yeah.
But we are disciplined, right? God isn't going to take away the cost of that kind of sin or any kind of sin. What happens temporally in our families, with the police, with yeah. whomever, is going to happen. But one of the things that's not going to happen is that you will lose your life, because once Jesus gives you his indestructible life, it's your indestructible yeah. life. Pain to be suffered, but never condemnation to die.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Richard, and thank you to this particular caller for that very penetrating question and a great answer from Richard. Friends, if you're struggling with your version of the Christian life, it's probably the same struggle Bob Christopher told us about in his book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And if you are struggling and want to find out why, well, visit basicgospel.net for your copy of this excellent book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Just click the link at the top of the homepage and find out how the Christian life is really supposed to work. Again, that's Simple Gospel, Simply Grace at basicgospel.net. Let's go to this call, and hello, Maureen, how are you?
Hello there. I was told by one of the staff at Basic Gospel that there used to be a Seventh-day Adventist. What changed his mind about their false teaching? I spoke with a Seventh-day Adventist. He believes there is a hell, but God won't leave people there forever. He is too loving. What scriptures could I give him to convince him that this is a lie from Satan? Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, this will take the next 3 weeks to answer.
Wonder who that Adventist was.
It might be me. How was I changed? I was changed by the power of God. I was so certain that I was right about everything. I lived perfectly on the outside, or so I thought.
Hmm.
On the inside, I knew better. And over time, a long time, you know, some people get saved in a moment. I got saved in a moment, but the meaning of that salvation didn't become clear for another 15 or 20 years.
Yeah.
Part of that time was a living hell, because I was living a double life. There was the me that was visible on the outside, and then there was me that I knew on the inside, and it wasn't pretty. Okay? And here's one of the verses that changed me, Romans 1:16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. It is written, the righteous shall live by faith. If you notice in that definition of things that Paul is writing, there's no mention of behavior. There's no mention of doing better, mm-hmm. of getting better.
Right.
I believed that I had to get better and better and better and better, so that at the very end of time, if I was still alive, the Holy Spirit could be taken away from me and the rest of the world,
yeah.
and I would live a perfect life in my own strength. How do you think that was working for me? I mean, I honestly believed it, and it was awful. Okay? I believed that if I didn't keep the seventh-day Sabbath, I would be lost. And I believed that everyone else who didn't keep the seventh-day Sabbath were, I mean, they already had the mark of the beast. You might as well just kiss it all goodbye. Okay? You don't start with Adventists by starting with some of the bad teaching, whether it's hell or something they call the investigative judgment, end times, whatever it is. Start with Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's what got me. You couldn't argue me out of any position. I mean, I could argue you under the table that the letter to the Hebrews was about confirming that the Mosaic covenant was still in place.
Mm.
How I got there, I don't ever remember anymore.
And don't want to.
And I don't want to. But that's where I was.
Yeah.
But then I met Jesus. And you have to come to grips with who Jesus is. What did he do? And what he did, was it sufficient? And I was living as if it hadn't been sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I thought, well, you know, Jesus died for sins committed beforehand, but the rest of us, we'd better keep asking for forgiveness, and we'd better behave better, and it just needed to change. And when I finally looked in the face of Jesus within the Bible, one of the great things the Adventist Church did for me was teach me how to study the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
When I started studying the Bible for itself instead of for my presumptions, life changed. And it will change for the person that this woman is talking to. If he or she is willing to go back to the Word of God, I suggest the Gospel of John. If you can convince anyone that Jesus isn't God from the Gospel of John, then you are completely lost.
Mm-hmm, right.
But if you will read the Gospel of John the way it's intended to be read and come to grips with the claims of Jesus, life is going to be different. I guarantee it. Now, I don't care whether the person stays Adventist or not. Their life will change because mm-hmm. they will meet Jesus.
Yeah. Maureen, hope that's a help to you. Thanks for contacting us. A quick question from Lee. Can a homosexual be saved while living in the homosexual lifestyle? And if they are saved, if they continue to live in that lifestyle, can they, will they go to heaven?
Well, I'll ask another question. Can you be saved because, you know, even when you doubt? Or can you be saved if you get angry at drivers on the freeway? Can you be saved if you ever act in unbelief? And the answer is, yes, you can be. I believe that the Holy Spirit of God is powerful enough, because I've met people for whom he was powerful enough, to change them. To say, I'm not going to continue in this lifestyle. I will, assuming I'm not changed so that I'm now heterosexual for whatever reason, I will live a celibate life, and I will not burn with lust. I will fix my eyes on Jesus, and I will move forward by faith. That's how it works. Never go after someone based on their behavior, because you could have been doing something even worse.
Certainly.
Never go there.
Yeah.
Take them to Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit change him from the inside out.
Thank you, Richard. And thanks to everyone who contacts this ministry to get your questions answered or to pose a topic of conversation. We love hearing from you. And keep in mind, too, that listener line is always open for any question you might have. That number is 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. It's open during the live broadcast. It's open 24 hours a day for those of you who hear the delayed broadcast. You can also drop your question to Bob at BasicGospel.net by email, and we'll be glad to address it here on Basic Gospel. Again, that's Bob at BasicGospel.net. Also, remember that Monday through Friday, we are streaming live video both to our Facebook page and our YouTube channel. We'd love for you to be a part of that, because we have a growing audience that comes into the studio with us every day. Well, friends, a quick reminder of the very special gift that we have coming back to you as you make your January gift to support Basic Gospel. It's a CD series we've called It's All Yours, and it's our way of saying thanks to you for your support of this message of love, grace, and life in the Lord Jesus Christ. To make your gift, click donate at BasicGospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And, of course, as always in Canada, you can donate with the Basic Gospel, through the website basicgospel.net/Canada. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and for all the ministry staff, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here on Monday after a great weekend. Have a great one, everybody. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.